probably be doing. Daniel chapter 6. Glad to be here in the house of the Lord. Zara, if you're watching, which you said you were going to be, hope you're having a good day. And this will be the best message you hear all day. All right. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give account unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because he had an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Not the lion's den, but into the den of lions. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, very important, as he did aforetime. He wasn't being spiteful, this was just his practice. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. We're not going to finish the story, but we'll make reference to the rest of it throughout the preaching this morning. Faith is a victory. The Christian life is filled with a lot of battles. Some battles from within us, some battles from without. But some, whether in or out, require faith to win the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Daniel is an example to each of us of how to live by faith and how to overcome by faith. We want to look at the plot of the enemy. There's a plot made here of this enemy. Whatever you do for God, you're going to find that there is someone who is against it, either an unsaved person or a carnal Christian. There is somebody that is not going to stand by and let you exercise your faith and your devotion to the Lord without confrontation. They will try to defeat your faith. The world will discredit. The world will try to discourage you from doing something for the Lord. We look here at this story and we think, surely these men are not that petty. But apparently they are. The motive of their plot seems to be jealousy or envy. They seem to be very envious of this man Daniel. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27 verse 4. "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy?" Who can do that? Here's the definition of jealousy. It is very watchful or careful in guarding, keeping, and resentful, envious. The definition of envy is this: feeling a discontent and ill will because of another's advantage or possessions or something along those lines. A resentful dislike of another who has something that one desires. Jealousy has strong emotions attached with suspicion. So these motives with these men were not of the upright sort. They were envious at Daniel and the promotion that he was going to get. Daniel was just not over the group of men. There was 120 divided by 3, and so each one would have had 40 men under them. But the king had thought to put Daniel over everybody, and that everybody would answer to him and he would be in charge. And so this resentful spirit began to develop in these men, and they began to share it with other men. And of course, then the consensus was, we've got to do something to get rid of this Daniel. And so they come up with this plot. Their motive is not pure. Then the man of the plot is Daniel, because he's the upright man. Notice the Bible says in verse 3, an excellent spirit was in him. In verse number 4, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, and neither was there any error or fault found in him. These men were envious of his character. He had good character. Could I tell you today that good character goes a long way still today? Men's character, the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Your character's what counts today. What people think of you is what counts today. Let me say, what people think of you is what counts today. Your name. When people hear your name, do they think good or do they think evil? If they think evil of your name, if they think bad of your name, that is not good for you. Whenever you mention Daniel, by the way, Daniel is an old man by now. He has long since passed the age of youth. He is well past his youth. Darius is a king of the Medes and the Persians. Daniel went into captivity about the age of 17 or 18 under the Babylonian captivity. They spent 70 years there. Then the Medes overcame the Babylonians, and Daniel is now moved from that realm to this realm. So he's an old man. Isn't it amazing sometimes whenever somebody's faithful and consistent in their walk with God and somebody younger comes along, they're envious at what this man has put his life into. Yeah, the man. Daniel was his character, but they was also envious of his conduct. That he was a good man, he was an honest man, he's an upright man. He was one that whenever the king asked him to do something, he could be faithful at doing it. And then their plot was very mischievous. They had no good intention for the king nor for the kingdom. It was self-will. They were not interested in the good of King Darius or of the kingdom or the prosperity of the kingdom. All they were interested in was themselves. They acted secretly. They had a little secret meeting. These are grown men. I mean, these aren't like teenagers. These are grown men. And the Bible said, these men said, they had a little secret meeting. They said, boy, we don't like what we're seeing, and we're going to have to do something, or Daniel, this Hebrew, this foreigner, so to speak, is going to be our boss. And you know, if he's our boss, some of these underhanded sly things we've been getting by with are probably going to be brought to light, and we're going to have to give an account, and that won't be good for us. Or maybe they just didn't like him and said, you know, we're tired of this old man running around here acting like he knows more than us, and we're just as smart as he is and all that kind of stuff. And maybe they were, but they weren't faithful like he was. It was a secret meeting. In Psalm, I want to read you this. This is a wonderful little common Terry on this portion of Scripture. I'm going to read you a little portion of the Psalm here. Here's what it says. I should have had it marked. And hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the enemy, from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly, do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? Boy, that ain't a commentary on the verse. Amen? That's what Psalm 64 says. And so here is Daniel just going about doing the responsibility faithfully that he ought to be doing, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as unto the Lord. That's Bible. And the Bible says that these men began to act secretly. They began to have sympathy meetings. Well, yeah, you know, we think the same way. Boy, Daniel, I'll tell you what, that guy, man, he gets in here, we're all, the kingdom's ruined then. Never be the same. They acted subtly. They had a meeting with the king. And they pretend that their best interest is for the king. King, we've been thinking. Isn't that amazing? We've been a-thinking that what we think would be best for the next 30 days, that since you are such a great king, and since this kingdom is such a great kingdom, we have put our heads together and thought the best way to honor you and the kingdom is to have nobody pray to anybody. That would be the word petition. Have nobody to pray to anybody, to any God, but to you. Just for 30 days. We think you're worthy of that. Boy, if that wasn't subtle, if that wasn't a lie, the best interest had nothing to do with the king or the kingdom. They had a very subtle heart. But they used a great strength, the law. The law of the Medes and the Persians was like this. Once a law was signed into law, it could never be changed, no matter what. That was the law of the Medes and the Persians. If it was ever signed into law, it had to be carried out to the letter of the law. That was the law of the Medes and the Persians. That's why the law of the Medes and Persians was very seldom enacted, because it could never change. So there was a lot of thought given to it, except in this case. And here's Darius probably going about the business of the day, had this quick meeting with these guys, and probably, like most of us, was not paying attention to what was being said, but was hoping to get out of the meeting. Let's all say amen. And they said, you know, we think this big, he goes, yeah, let me sign it, and goes on his way. Boy, they used the strength of the law. Now they've got power. Now they've got something that can't change. Have you ever noticed whenever people want to get their agenda across, they always find the strongest point to get it across? Now, they're not interested in the law of the Medes and the Persians. They just had to use that as their strength to get to Daniel. They weren't interested in the king or the kingdom. They just wanted to get to Daniel. They weren't interested in the things that ought to have been interested in. They just wanted to get to Daniel. So this was their plot. Now the Bible says, it's interesting, I thought here, that in verse number 10, the praying of Daniel. Whenever Daniel knew that this law had written, he just went ahead about normal business. Morning time he prayed, evening time, noon time he prayed, evening time he prayed. It's just a habit. Now I want to tell you something. Now we read the story and we think, well, what's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. They were going to kill Daniel for praying. They were going to kill him for praying. They had to use what they could in his life to get an advantage over him. Let me tell you something. To stand for Christianity, to stand for God, is a great price you have to pay. And it may get greater in the days ahead, even in America. By the way, Daniel's prayer was a matter of conviction. You know, Daniel and probably others, you know, Daniel could have done like everybody else, said, well, it's only 30 days. What's the big deal? Well, let me tell you what the big deal was. The big deal was Daniel had a conviction that prayer was a part of his life.
and that he should only pray to the God of heaven. That was the Bible conviction. Listen, whenever our nation or a nation or a group makes a law contrary to the teaching of the Bible, you still do what the Bible says. We're not trying to promote rebellion against government because God tells us to submit to government, but we cannot compromise on our convictions that are Bible-based for what we practice. We cannot. Let me read you a scripture, because I know some are thinking, well, where does the Bible say all this at? Why did Daniel have to get on his knees and open the window and pray and look to heaven and, you know, all these types of look out the window and pray and all this kind of stuff? Well, I'll just read you the scripture. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far or near. I think that's where we're at. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captive. Now listen. And pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou from the heavens and from thy dwelling place their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that which have sinned against thee. That window in Daniel's room looked towards Jerusalem. And that's the way God said to pray. And Daniel opened that window with his face out the window looking towards Jerusalem, because that's the way God said to pray. And God said, if you pray that way, then I'll hear and I'll maintain your cause. Daniel's prayer was a matter of conviction. But let me say this, Daniel's prayer was brought with immediate confrontation. Now, these men knew he'd been a praying man. Hey, you know what? The world ought to know we're praying people. They ought to know where we're at when in certain times of the day that we're in prayer. And all they're doing is waiting. The law's been signed. Stamp's been made. It is now a law. Daniel, knowing it was a law, has a Bible conviction that I'm to pray, I'm to intercede for this nation as well as for my nation. I am to seek God until he comes. Gets down on his knees, and there's a group watching. And they find him. Immediate confrontation. Now, I want to tell you something. If you start doing anything for God, you're going to find confrontation about it. Somebody's going to be against it. It can be a carnal Christian. It can be an unsaved man. It can be anybody. I'm just telling you, there's somebody going to stand against you doing what God tells you. If you have a Bible conviction, somebody is going to stand against it. This world is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. And listen to me, the flesh is not your friend. And you will find opposition to doing something for God. Confrontation. There's all kinds of confrontation in this world against Christianity. There's laws trying to be enacted against Christianity. The greater good of society is not at stake here. It is an attack against freedom of speech against Christianity. The Bible says. That is our message today to this lost and dying world. It doesn't matter if it's politically correct or incorrect. It is the message that we are to be preaching. It doesn't matter if it's acceptable or unacceptable. It is the message that we are to be preaching. And folks, I'm here to tell you it's going to be met with confrontation. Daniel's praying had a high cost. I can see these men, they're over here watching. There's Daniel over there praying. Ha ha, we got him, we got him, we got him. And the Bible says over here in verse 13, that they went and they, hey, notice what they said in verse 13. This is good. Then answered they went to the king and said, hey, did you make a law that said nobody could pray to anybody, any god but you for the next 30 days? King said, yeah, I vaguely remember making some. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel. That was not a compliment. I've heard people say, that church, that preacher, that group. When people come to church, it's always, man, this is the greatest thing since chocolate milk. When they leave, it's always that church. Hey, I've been here long enough. It's that church. Yeah, yeah. When somebody uses that person, that is not a compliment. All right? That, you know, that Daniel that you thought to make the the leader over us and whatever his title would have been. You know that Daniel? That sorry thing you thought. You know what he's doing, King? He's defying your law that you made. Now, the king wasn't dumb. He instantly realized what had happened. Those suckers used me to get at Daniel. Notice what verse number 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. Oh, I never even thought what they were asking me. But it's too late. And he worked all day to try to get out of this, but the law of the Medes and the Persians said it couldn't be changed. He realized that they had used a very subtle heart to get their agenda across. So Daniel's praying was going to come at a high cost. He was going to be cast into the den of lions. Now we always say the lion's den, but it was a den of lions. If it's just a lion's den and no lions there, it's no big deal. I'll get in there for free. But if it's a den of lions, I think I'll watch from afar. And these lions have not been fed for a few days. To increase their desire for food. Daniel, you violated the law. Let me tell you, I wonder today if we would be willing to pay such a cost just to pray. Just to witness. I wonder if we would pay such a cost. I read in my Sunday school class about a young girl back in 177 AD who for many months was tortured for her faith. And eventually was taken and scourged and set in a hot, scalding chair and then thrown to a wild bull that threw her up and down and around and then was stabbed to death because she wouldn't renounce Jesus Christ. I wonder today if we were like that. Or if we'd say, well, shoot, my goodness gracious. No sense to make everybody upset. If everybody dies, who's going to do the praying then? Yeah. No, I think it's a matter of conviction. I think, ladies and gentlemen, I think maybe the church needs to understand America's coming to that place where what we're going to do is a matter of conviction. Not of convenience anymore, but of conviction. Let me say this. Whether we like it or not, being a Christian is going to cost at some point in time. Well, so we see the plot of the enemy. We see the praying of Daniel. But let's look here at the power of faith. The Bible says, then the king commanded in verse 16, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, I can see this in my mind. Here they bring Daniel, he's coming in, and the king said, Daniel, maybe he called him Danny, I don't know, Daniel, whatever, Dan, whatever, Dan, Daniel, Danny, Danny boy, I don't know. Danny, Dan, Daniel, listen, I made a law without thinking, but you did violate that law. And since the law is not alterable, I'm going to have to throw you in there. I don't want to, but I have to. And I'm sure sorry. And he says, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee because of how this was done. Now, later that next morning, the king comes in, the Bible says, with a very lamentable voice, like, did God deliver you? You know, like, I know God can, but will he? Boy, he's a true Baptist, amen? And so the power of faith stands. Daniel took his stand on biblical truth. I am going to pray because it is right to pray. I'm going to pray three times a day with my window open, facing towards Jerusalem, because that is what God commanded us. Jesus said in Luke 18, God wrote this, spake this parable to that, so that men might always to pray and not to faint. Somebody comes and says, well, you can't pray. Sure you can. You can't hold church services. Sure you can. Because the Bible says so. So, Daniel's faith helped him stand. Let me read this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me say this. These men were not just men. These men were being inspired of the devil. Amen. And anybody that opposes God's man of faith and a person or a Christian, let me put it that way, a Christian that's walking by faith, anybody who tries to obstruct their faith is being inspired by the devil. Y'all believe that? Yes. Listen, it's not the Holy Spirit that's causing these men to act like this. This is the devil causing them to act like this. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now listen, and having done all to stand, stand. Amen. I just tell you today, we need some folks who will just stand. And by the way, great faith will help you to stand. Daniel's faith wasn't in the king or in those men. He wasn't even fearful of all that stuff. His faith was in the God who had called him to this place. Daniel, I know that your God will be with you and deliver you. Well, that's what he was doing. How am I going to cross them both? You say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says down in verse number 20, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake unto Daniel and he said, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lion? Yes, O king. Whoo! I knew he could. Never doubted it for a minute. Just for good luck. The power of faith to stand. You know, the power of faith sees. We walk not by faith, or not by sight, but by faith. Daniel's faith saw that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the power of faith supplies. Now, I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says them lions, you read history, them lions were vicious. And we're going to read it here just in a minute. And I can see them taking Daniel and throwing him in there. The Bible says they cast him into the den of lions. Daniel didn't jump in there. They cast him into the den of lions. Now, I've heard all kinds of stories. All right, I've heard them all. You've heard them all. I've heard them lions set over there, and rawr, 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 and all this. I don't know how it happened. I don't think that they cuddled up against Daniel. Now, that's just my opinion about it. All right? I think there was a angelic, God-sent barrier between them and him. Brother Best told a story. He may have told it here. I don't know, but I remember him telling a story. One day he was out visiting, and when he was a young preacher and serving in the church there with the pastor, and he was out visiting, and he said he walked up to this door, and he said, up to the porch, coming up the steps, and he said, out come this, he said, this huge dog with this vicious look, and he said he hit the screen door and lunged at me. And Brother Best said, I didn't have no time to do anything. And he said, that dog got about right here and hit something. And turned around and tucked tail and ran. And the owner came out. What'd you do to my dog? I never did anything to your dog. You see, God is able. God supplies all you need when you get into the den of lions. Whenever everybody's against you and it seems like that nothing's working and you're serving God and you're being faithful to God. Now, I'm not talking about this half-hearted Christianity. I'm talking about somebody who's going to love God, serve God. Here's Daniel, innocent, faithfully serving God, faithfully serving the king. And here's a plot against him and God puts a barrier. I believe them lions roar, rawr, 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 whatever they do. You know, you're going to get you, get you. Can I tell you this? The Bible says the devil, like a lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You better be thankful to God that God's in control of the lions. And the Bible says, verse 22, I hear Daniel. My God sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. King, I didn't do what they said you was, what they accused me of. And the king said, yeah, I know. Hey, get him out of there. Now, we don't have a law, but all you presidents and princesses, and all of your wives and all of your children, bring them here. Things about to get ugly. And the Bible says, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. Now listen, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. There's Chris, one of them princes. God took him and throwed him right in there. Well, that wasn't fair. His daddy should have thought of that before he got his cross with God. Now, come on now. You ought to think about that before you get cross with God, what it does to your children. God let the devil tear them up. Sure he will. There's his wife. Honey, what'd you do? Maybe he didn't even tell her. Why do we got to go see the king? I don't know. That lying sucker. The king says, throw her in there. But king, I didn't do anything. You're married to him and he plotted. And as they were falling down, these lions would grab them and rip them to pieces. Man, that's a horrible way to die. Because you know they didn't die instantly. The story is this. The message is this. Faith in God and faith in God's way always brings about the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Did you know the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith. You know, Daniel didn't overcome the den of lions because he is such a great man, because of his age. He overcame because of his faith. Today you're going to face things this week and next week and the week after that's going to look like the devil himself is roaring at your door. But you know what overcome him? Faith. Faith. Just stay obedient to what God tells you to do. You say, well, what if it turns out bad? It can't turn out bad. The angel of the Lord's with you. God's with you. Just stay with it. Yeah, but I'll tell you what, it ain't looking like I thought it was going to look. Don't have to. Just got to look like God wants it to look. Amen? Hey, now listen. You're looking off in the den of lions and they're hungry and they're growling and roaring. There are probably 15 or 20 of them down there. You ain't going to last long. I have a Bible conviction that what I'm doing is right. And if I'm cast into the den of lions, so be it. But I'm going to pray because it's the right thing to do. Serving God is the right thing to do. Let's serve Him because we love Him. And if we have to pay a cost, let's do it for the glory of God. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for Your Word and Your blessing to us in the Scriptures. And I pray today there was somebody here that got some help. Might be a Christian not being serving You. Be a good time for them to get faithful to serving You. Might be somebody here today, Lord, that's seems like they're in the den of lions right now. God, give them strength. I'm glad You never leave us nor forsake us. You're always with us. I'm glad, God, that You're in control of the lions. You shut their mouths. They couldn't have bit Daniel if he had stayed in there for 100 years. But God, You delivered the man of God who did that which was right in Your sight. Thank You for those that's been in the battles, been in the den of the lions, and has come out. And Father, I pray that You'll help us to make our stand strong and faithful and right to Your glory. Bless this invitation time. Amen. Let's stand together. Miss Rachel's playing the hymn of invitation. Now here's three questions you got to ask yourself. The Bible says that happened because Daniel believed in his God. I want to ask you this question, number one. Have you ever believed in God and been saved? Do you have saving faith? See, faith that is just blind out here in this world is no good. Do you have saving faith? Are you saved today? Are you saved? Has Jesus Christ ever saved your soul? Do you have walking faith? As a Christian, are you walking with God by faith? Are you walking according to the course of this world again? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And do you have trusting faith? Do you have faith that trusts God in the midst of all the troubles and trials that you face? Trust. Well, I've been trying to work on a message for 2 years on learning to trust God. It's a great topic. I have a hard time getting it on paper, though. Do you have faith that trusts God whenever things doesn't look right, and seem right, they don't sound right? Are you trusting God? Does your faith trust Him?